ushers' cards to you in the front door. And I meant to give them to the ushers, but if you're a visitor, I'm going to go ahead and take these back here to the back. Please do us a favor, a great, great big favor, and sign this so we can get your name and your address so we can haunt you. I mean, so we can contact you. I'm sorry, did I say that? We want to make you feel welcome. Join your Smith's Children's Church. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God's awesome. Amen. We're going to continue on our series that we've been talking about stewardship. We've been talking about the ABCs, and the first one was attitude, and the second one was belief, and the third one is going to be consider. I've been struggling all week with what to call it, whether it could be commitment, or whatever, and the Lord just showed me this scripture, and then there it was. Consider. How many times your mama or daddy puts you in the corner and says, I want you to consider what you done? It ever happened to you? Most of the time I didn't get in the corner. I never made it that far. I got to be. Daddy and mama had a version of Adderall. It was called leather. Praise God. You know, there was a cat that died, went to heaven after its ninth life, went to heaven, and it was enjoying itself. St. Peter said, come on in, enjoy yourself. So the cat was enjoying itself, and a couple weeks later, a mouse died. The mouse, he goes up to heaven, and he says, come on in, enter in, it's cool. And he comes in and says, this is beautiful. A couple weeks later, St. Peter looks at the mouse and says, oh, how you like heaven so far? He says, it's cool, but it's so big and I'm so little. I really could use some help. Maybe a pair of roller skates. Get around here. He said, it's no problem. I'll get you some. So he got the mouse, the roller skates. A couple weeks later, he asked the cat, says, how you liking it here? He says, man, it's so awesome. And he says, just when I thought it couldn't get any better, here comes Meals on Wheels. Yeah, oh. Don't forget the Super Bowl party tonight. The church service is going to be over there. We're going to have a big screen. And come on to the Super Bowl party. It's going to be awesome. And I just thank God we can do things like that. And also on the 15th on Sunday night, we're going to have something called the Agape Feast. If you're not familiar with it, it's a celebration of Valentine's Day, and agape is God's love. And so we're just going to have a little get-together on Sunday night. Again, it's going to be over there in the fellowship hall. Everybody can bring finger foods, or we'll put it in the bulletin, finger foods, and or you can bring light stuff that you've cooked. It'll be fine. But we're going to have that on the 15th. Please participate. Because you know what? If we have things, this is going to be here and today and this right here. If we have stuff and you don't show up, it's kind of saying, well, I don't necessarily want to be there. Or it don't matter if we have it or not. And so what it is, it's kind of like whether you think about it or not, it's kind of like a vote that says, you know, I really don't, it's not there for me. And that's fine. I'm not pushing anybody or trying to beat down anybody. But I told you this year the Lord convicted me and said, go ahead and tighten the screws down a little bit. And go ahead and preach some things you've been neglecting to preach. So that's what I've been doing. Everybody happy so far? Nobody's ready to kill me? Okay, nobody going to hang me? That's right. You hear my wife? She said, not for that. If you want some reasons to hang me, go see my wife. She got a whole list. Okay, the ABCs of stewardship. Get your book out and turn. Go to the table of contents and find Haggai. Because if I tell you it's right after Zephaniah, how many knows where Zephaniah is? Okay, go look in the table of contents, find Haggai. It's right behind Hezekiah. Somebody say, God is awesome. Now let's do something different today. I'm going to try to hurry on and get through here because it's already getting late. It's already 12 o'clock. We've had a wonderful service. So y'all going to try to do this quick, okay? So let's do it quick. But it's 12 o'clock. Y'all go ahead and know I didn't start till 12, so you can't say I'm long-winded if we're here at 4. Already, Haggai, chapter 1. Matter of fact, if somebody gets hungry, I brought snacks today. Okay. Haggai, chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, oh, stand up. Y'all stand for the reading of the word. Remember, we're talking about consider. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel and the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, unto Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, these people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. I want you to think about that for a minute. These people, that's the whole reason God let them out of captivity, was to come and build His house, to come and reestablish the city. And so Haggai is talking to them and says, the people say, or they speak, the Lord, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and his house lie in waste. In other words, you're really taking care of your own, but you're not taking care of his. I mean, it's so important. You're trying to outdo the one beside you, but you can't do the one on the inside of you. Oh, that was good. You're busy trying to press the one beside you, but you're forgetting about the one on the inside of you. Oh, we can go. No, I won't say that. Y'all leave. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I'll take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all that labor of the hands. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to open our eyes. Father, this is not a condemnation sermon, Father. This is something that will lift us up to the next level. God, you're not trying to beat us down. You're trying to lift us up. And Father, we all have needs in our life. We want revival. If we're going to have revival, it's got to start in stewardship. And Father, stewardship is not just money, and we're going to explain that. But Father, it's the total man. I ask you right now, Father, to help us to see that. This day, in the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, on the way down, get somebody a high five and say, you're glad they're here. Okay, real quick, I'm going to try to go ahead and go through the last couple of weeks just so in case you weren't here, you can hear what's going on. Stewardship is using God-given abilities to manage God-given resources to accomplish God-given results. And here's the areas of stewardship. Time, talent, treasure, testimony. Time, talent, treasure, testimony. So when you're talking about stewardship, you're talking about all those areas. Somebody say all. Okay? So now, the attitude of stewardship is not what you give or what you do for God, it's why you do it. If you give money, resources to God with the wrong attitude, you're not being a good steward. How many know that? If you do ministry and serve the church with the wrong attitude, you're not being a good steward, you're sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Come on. Blessings of stewardship. That was the first week. Second week, blessings of stewardship. 1 Chronicles 29, David, as they're getting ready to build the house of the Lord, or Solomon's going to actually do the building, verse 11, he said, everything comes from you, everything belongs to you, everything is going back to you. Somebody say everything. The king, King David understood that everything comes from God, and the blessing is God. I can't even talk. God wants to partner with us. Amen. The partnership is not complete if God's just given to us. The partnership becomes complete when we give back. You want to be a conduit or a container. If you want to be a container, you want, matter of fact, a person wrapped up in their self is a very mighty small package. And if you want to get beyond depression and get beyond no hope and get beyond all this stuff, Satan desires for us to wrap ourselves in our own package, and then we find ourselves hurting. God says, open the bag and get out. So watch this. Be a conduit, not a container. A container's like this. A conduit's like this. God gives to you. You give back to God. It's just continually going back and forth. Nothing has more impact on a person than to be a blessing. Giving is the highest level of living we can achieve. It's not what you have that makes the difference. It's what you do with what you have. Somebody say amen. Here it is. I'm getting ready to get to consider. The partnership is complete. Now watch this. Listen carefully. The partnership is complete. How do we give back? When we give back to God, here it is. You give back directly by bringing the tithe and offering to the storehouse. We use our time, our talent, our treasures, our testimony to bless His house. Then we give back indirectly to God by giving to others, using our time, our talent, our resources, testimony to bless others. Now, you want a double-barrel shotgun. You don't take what you said to give to God and bless somebody else with, because God just says it. You robbed Him. I know y'all don't like that. You know, I don't either, but you know that's what He said. So, you give to God what's God's so that His house can be full so we can operate. Then you give unto others so that they can see God in you. Okay? It's important. It's a double-barrel shotgun. The partnership or stewardship that God calls us to completes the cycle. So get ready. Get ready. Here it is. Consider. Ready? Somebody say, get your steel toes on. I'm just playing, I think. All right? Listen carefully. Satan desires to stop the move of God in your life. How many know that? Let me say it one more time. Satan desires to stop the move of God in your life. Here's the move of God. First in us, our passion. Then for us, when He moves in our needs, meets our needs, our possessions. And third, He wants to move through us. That's our power. So Satan desires, so look now, he desires, he knows he can't stop it all the way unless we just totally just back out. Even then, God can still use us. So what he tries to do is he tries to hinder it, tries to distort it, whatever he can, in us, our passion. How many's ever thought maybe my passion isn't where it used to be? Okay? So he's trying to stop our passion through trials and tribulations. He's trying to shut up heaven so our needs aren't being met. And he tries to distort the power within us so that we are not good stewards of our testimony and our time and our treasure because we're not being used by God. So this is heavy. This is about as heavy can get. If you want revival, this is where it starts. Our passion, our possessions, our power. That's where revival starts. Not in a series of services by 5 nights. That's where it starts. Amen? So watch this. There's a commitment of stewardship. Did you know that God wants us all in? When it's raining and the door's open, do you go all the way in? Or do you kind of stand on the outside of the door and the inside of the door, and one side of you is wet and one side of you is? You get all the way in. When it's cold outside, what do you tell them? Shut that door! Boy, you're born in a barn. Every time somebody asked me, was I born in a barn? I said, no, but my boss was. So listen carefully. God wants us all in. All in. It's all or nothing. All right, watch this. Why? It closes the door that Satan seeks to enter. When you're all the way in, you're closing the door where Satan can come in and try to snatch your testimony, snatch your treasure, snatch your time, snatch your talent. When you close that door, Satan has to take a back seat. Number two. When you're all in, it opens doors to which God can bless you. Because now, since you're not letting Satan use you or let Satan get all in your mind, now God can use you in greater, greater ways. God can bless you like you've never been blessed before. And third, it opens ways to which we can be a blessing. How many want to be a blessing? Remember, the cycle's not complete until we get from God and then we give to God and give to somebody else. That's when it's open. So watch this. Here we go. The problem. Very simple. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Wow. You've sown much, and you bring in little. Wow. Now, let me just kind of move this kind of slowly. I know we're really strapped for time, but we're going to be a good steward with our time and give God a little bit more today. Okay? Matter of fact, you'll be a whole lot better off like we're doing Emmaus, put your watch away. Okay, so ready? Watch this. The people saw a physical problem. God saw a spiritual problem. And guess what? They were both right. The people saw that physical problem. I'm working myself to death. I'm working. I'm doing everything I can. I'm working overtime. I'm doing everything within my power. I've sown much. I'm not resting. What's wrong, God? God says to these people, there's a spiritual problem along with this physical problem. Now, what is it? Here it goes. Watch this. Consider your ways. You've sown much, but you have reaped little. That's work. You eat, but you do not have enough. There's your groceries. You drink, but you don't have enough for your fill. That again, that's filling your satisfactions. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. He earns wages, has earned them to put them in bags with holes in them. When I was a little boy going through the schoolyard at school, I used to love to walk behind guys that had holes in their pockets. I got more marbles and more nickels that way. I know I gave them back. Don't look at me like that. If I could find them. If I couldn't find them, then they were mine. That's right. So watch this. Their effort was there. Listen carefully. This is so awesome. Their effort with Haggai was there, but God's covering was gone. Woo. Their effort was there. They're doing it. But their covering's gone. Remember, God wants to know why you do what you do. Well, why do you do these things? Why do you pray? Why do you seek God? Why do you sing? Why do you worship? Why do you go to church? What's all this about? God is concerned more with why you do it than He is about you doing it. So now watch this. He says, consider your ways. How many like cinnamon buns? These are fresh. I mean, these are so fresh. These are so fresh. When I bought them, when I walked by to pick them up, one of them pinched me. That's how fresh they are. How do you get in this thing? Needs a woman to help here. Okay. Remove the seal to enjoy. That's what I'm trying to do. All right. Real men can remove the seal. Hey, you walk around with me. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. Let me have them. Okay. Look how fresh these are.
They smell good too.
Ho. No, you sit down. I'll give you yours yet. Come here. That was a tease. Oop. Hold that. Now I give one to him. Yeah, this to Brother Billy. That. Just hold on to it. Okay, just hold on to it. I got it. Let's see here. Somebody put brownie. That's not part of them. DC. Yeah. Here.
Yeah.
Y'all can share it. Be a good steward. Hold that. Just hold on to it. Just hold on to it. Okay. Just one side. Okay. This is fresh, y'all. This is absolutely fresh as you can get. See, they're all jumping out of here. It's so fresh. All right, here. Hand Brad one. Hold it, Brad. Where'd the rest of them go? In my hand? Oh, here it is. Here it is. Hold those. Okay, well, matter of fact, I'm going to do this since I've already given those out. What? Not yours yet. Let's see. What does yours say? Oh, cool. And what does yours say? Okay. Who else has got one? What does yours say? Okay. All right, give Benny one. Give him 4 1/4. All right, give. Give him one. What does yours say? Okay. Now, here's one. Give that to find some. All right. What did you give him? Give him a paper. What does it say? Cool. One more. Okay. Here you go. No, give her one.
Oh, you mean.
Now, what is it?
Oh, no.
Okay, now, here's what I want y'all to do because I got one more person that's got one. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to read them out loud. This actually... Do what? Okay, look, now, this is you. This is you, your time, your talent, your resources, your treasures. Your testimony. And so we're just going to go with treasures right now, but of course it can be any of them. So this is your treasures. This is every week. Watch this. If we're not careful, this is what Hosea's people were doing. Okay. What did yours say? We need them. Yeah. But say it loud. School supplies. School supplies. What's yours say?
House payment.
I know, but that's house payment. That's stuff we need. I'm not talking about stuff you don't need. What's yours say?
Car payment.
All right. Who else has got one? Groceries. We need groceries, don't we? What's that one say? Clothes. So that's normal stuff, isn't it? That's everyday stuff we got to do. This is what Hosea was doing. Hosea's people were doing all this stuff, but then let's get down to the brass tacks. Watch this. What have you got? What's yours say? Mad money. Does that mean money that's angry? Mad money. Does that make God mad when you spend it? What is it? Mad money. It makes your wife mad when you spend it, make you mad when she spends it? I heard yesterday, you know what the definition of a happy medium is? A fortune teller that won the lottery. Okay, mad money. See, there's one more we forget. Now watch this. This is what Hosea's people were doing. What does yours say?
God.
All right. Watch this, though. Watch. Stand up, brother. You need to stand up for this one. Hold it to give it to him. Watch this.
God gets
Now, look. How many got a nice, pretty piece? Look at this. Oh, who got one simple? Who got eaten out? Oh, Brother Billy got eaten out. He got eaten out. He got mad money, house payment, all this stuff. Now, and God gets. But when we get in trouble, who do we go to first? And do we want a big blessing? But that's what Hosea's people were doing. They had been released from captivity. And God was saying, wait a minute, y'all. You got something backwards here. Y'all are doing everything else, but you're putting me last, and I'm getting the crumbs. Oh, you still got to do your house payment. You still got to do your car payment. You still got to do school supplies. There's a lot of things you got to do. But then you go mad money, eating out, and all this stuff. Pretty soon you find yourself, am I actually, do I have to have some of these things, or am I just trying to keep up with somebody else or whatever? I just feel like I deserve whatever. And then when it comes to God, okay, God, I'll tip you. I want your blessings, but I'm going to tip you. So here, let me get finished now. Do you know that it had been 18 years since they had returned from captivity? 18. Somebody say 18. It had been 18 years. It weren't 2 months, weren't 3 months, weren't 6 months. They weren't trying to get settled in. It had been 18 years, and they said, you know what? It's still not time. We got to take care of ourselves, and God will take care of Himself. And God, it began to provoke God's interest, even God's anger. Because they began to say, God, our stuff, we're going to take care of it. God wants you to. You got to be. It'd be a good steward. Your time, your talent, your treasures, your testimony. You got to take care of them. You got to guard them. And you got to use them to His glory. And you have to have that. But there comes a time when now God gets the crumbs. And then we get upset with God. Where are you, God? And God says, well, where were you? Wow. Look. So again, God wants us to be good stewards. 18 years since they were delivered to do God's work. So God, watch this now. Watch. Procrastination. Do you know procrastination literally means you may care about it, but you're not doing anything about it? Or you're doing little about it? To procrastinate means that you do care, but you're doing little or nothing about it. But procrastination prolonged becomes apathy. Now, apathy means I don't care anymore. Matter of fact, watch this. I have, with apathy, you have tried your best to escape the Holy Ghost tugging on your heart. A person that is apathetic about anything God has been talking to them about, they have overruled, they have put it up, X'd out what God said needed to be done. That's apathy. And watch this. Apathy, listen carefully, erodes your godly covering. He said in verse 9, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow on it. Wow. I didn't think, you know, I'm bringing all this stuff home, and I'm thinking, man, you know, this is going to be awesome. I mean, this is going to be some awesome, awesome stuff. Look at all this. I've got all this stuff now, and I'm going to be okay. And I bring it home, and when I bring it home, God goes. Really? So God goes. I'm a good terror, but I reckon I was a good sticker too. I'm telling you. So apathy, remember, apathy, spiritual apathy is when you cancel out the Holy Ghost trying to direct your life. You cancel it out. Nobody will miss me anyway. I don't mean that much anyway. I ain't got that much anyway. It don't matter. My little bit don't count. It don't matter. What I can't sing anyway. Well, you know what? I can't do this. I can't do that. You hear all these things because that's where the apathy is coming in. This is what happened to Hey Guys people. No matter how tight they tried to hold on, it just kept slipping away. But I'm holding on. Yeah, really. What you holding on to? You see, this is powerful stuff right here. This is where the rubber meets the road. This will help you get back in good spiritual shape. So watch now. Watch. They cannot see their physical problems are directly connected to spiritual problems. So now watch this. I'm getting ready to close. Eroding our covering. Eroding it. Watch this. Watch. Eroding our covering actually is when we live. Watch this. Here's how you erode your covering. You're doing it, not God. You're doing it. Somebody say it's our own fault. When we allow the less important to take the place of the most important. In other words, we're majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. We're more concerned about what somebody's wearing or what somebody said or my feelings got hurt last week and blah, blah, blah. A guy went to a mayor's yesterday and told me, he come and told me after it was all over with, he said, I was having a little problem with me, not me, him. He said, me was getting in my way. I know y'all never have that problem. And he said, I came here this morning. I said, God, you got to help my attitude because me is in my way. And he said, he got there and the guy that was supposed to do the devotion weren't there. So Tony goes up to this guy and says, the leader, and says, can you do this devotion for me? He says, sure, what you going to do? I don't know, do whatever you want. And so he picks out in Genesis 6 about Noah. And then Tony comes up to him and says, but while you at it, can you read the Emmaus Creed? He said, sure. So after he reads about Noah, the Emmaus Creed says, it's not about me. This is the guy's problem. The other guy didn't know it. He told us about this later. He says, this is not about me. It's about them. It's about seeing God do something in their lives. We're a team. It's all of us. It's either all of us or none of us. It's not about me. And he kept about 10 times he said, it's not about me. When he walked away, I actually was thinking, Lord, am I thinking that sometimes? And then when I get to him, he says, you ain't going to believe this. I said, what? He said, that was my whole problem this morning. And I come in, and this he's handing me. I got to read it out loud to everybody. See, God has his way. Amen? So watch this. You look for much, and it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Because my house that is waste, and you run every man to his own. In other words, you're busy taking care of your business, but my business is not even being taken care of. He says, you're not taking care of my house. You're not taking care of the things around. You're not taking care of the things of God. You're more concerned about yourself right now than you are about this. And I can understand they were in captivity for 70 years, and that has a tendency to make you want to be that way. But you got to remember, you got to give it to God. So watch this. Here we go. Consider your ways too. First, there was a problem. Secondly, there was the passion. The Bible says that their passion, they resisted God's plan. God's plan in verse 2 through 5 says, now it's time to build, but you say it's not time. And I'm saying, yes, it is. You're worried about your own self and you're letting my house lie waste. Therefore, consider your ways. Now watch this. Watch carefully. Matthew, he wants to put him first. Matthew 6:33, the Amplified Version says, but seek ye, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given unto you besides the clothing. All this stuff that these guys don't have, he says, you're seeking it, but if you'll seek me first, I'll take care of the rest of it. Right here, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, tell the people, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. That's what the people are saying. He says, why aren't you putting me first? Watch this. Here's the causes. If you're going to procrastinate, here's some of the causes of procrastination. I just want you to kind of see this. How many here's ever procrastinated? I was going to preach on procrastination a few weeks ago, and I just keep putting it off. Matter of fact, the Procrastinators Club, there is a Procrastinators Club that's had the same president for 20 years because they keep putting the elections off. All right, causes of procrastination. Number one, lack of ability. That's within. Here's the problem. Watch this. Fear and doubt. Fear and doubt. You think, well, I can't do this anyway, or why should I even try because I don't have what it takes? So fear and doubt gets in you, and you think because I have a lack of ability, you don't understand. God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. He'll take care of the ability. So first, lack of ability. Number two, lack of tools. That's without. We feel that we're ill-equipped. Well, I can't play, or I can't sing, or I can't do this, or I can't drive a hammer. I can't use a screwdriver. I don't know how to sweep. I don't know this or that, whatever. And you go, well, I'm just going to, look, I don't have it within. I don't have the tools without. And then the third reason is just lack of interest. That is usually at the end of the cycle. Here's where your belief, your fear, your doubts, and your ill-equipped, all of it, you feel it so long that, again, here comes the apathy. You just start resisting and resisting and resisting. And you're doing it your way. You know, I told you one time before my favorite song when I was coming up, Elvis did it and Frank Sinatra did it. I did it my way. Regrets, I had a few, but then again, too few to mention. Because I'm a bad dude, I'm as bad as you can even mention. And you know what happened? God showed me, son, you need to quit singing that song. And start singing, I did it his way. You see, that's right. Lack of ability, lack of tools, lack of interest, apathy takes in. I told you I was getting ready to close. Here it goes. I know. Hold on. You say no? Yeah, it is. Watch. Number three priority. I'm going to hurry it up. He says, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. That word pleasure means to be pleased with, to be satisfied, to satisfy debt. Now, let me get to the end of this thing before you think that we got to be work to be saved. You never have to work to be saved. Jesus did the work. I'm going to talk to this in the very end slide. Jesus did the work, not us. He said, I'll be glorified. It means to make large, to bring glory, to testify, to bring favor. Then God just is testified. People sit around and say, look at what God is doing. Wow, that's awesome. You know what? Five of us are stronger than one of us. Five of us are wiser than one of us. 10 of us are wiser than one of us or five of us. 20 of us, I like the way God said it, one will chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight. Wow. Stewardship, your time, your talent, your treasure, your testimony. So watch, here we go. Watch this now. We are not saved through our service, but we are saved to serve God and others. Amen? Okay, two more slides and we'll be out of here. For the promise, consider your ways. Go ahead, I'm just going to read it. Go ahead. Chapter 2, he says, you now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you. And work. Somebody say work. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear not. For as thus saith the Lord of hosts, you yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations in the desire of all the nations to come, and I will fill this house with my glory. Oh, come on. I'll fill it with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Watch this now. Watch this. Y'all need to say this with me. Watch. Say this with me. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. One more time. The silver is his, and the gold is his, saying, Lord, if it's all his, then he can take care of you. If God owns it all, then why are we afraid? I remember when I was a teenager, I'm driving around in a 65 Mustang. Of course, y'all think it's great, 65 Mustang. When I come along, 65 Mustang with poor folk car. Had glass packs on it and a 3-speed in the floor and that thing. They were working in the tater grater one day, and I pulled up and somebody said, let's get back to work. The truck's coming. It was me. Not the tater truck. And I had a friend riding around a brand new Camaro, another friend riding around, whatever the fancy cars were. One guy had a goat. And I said, how do these guys get that? And I got this. I even asked my daddy one day, I said, how come I got a Mustang? I wouldn't say that now. How come I got a Mustang? I mean, a Mustang don't even count as a Ford. Mustang is universal. It's like A lot of Dodges are universal. Okay. All right. And daddy said, well, son, you got to understand, this guy's daddy's a pharmacist, this guy's daddy's a doctor, and this guy's daddy owns a business. And I began to think about it. Back in the day, it didn't really matter because I wanted to work for what I got. And I'm not saying that God's going to give us everything powerful and give us new Cadillacs. What you got to understand is, if we got a day, look, my daddy's greater than, he is the doctor. He is the master builder. Amen. And he's the master builder. And so, look, God can take care of us. God can take care of us. That's right. The gold is his. Watch this. And here's something somebody in here needs to hear right now. The glory of this latter house, this house, is going to be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Some of y'all remember in the glory days of this place how it was packed and how God was moving in a special way, and you think it'll never happen again. I believe with all my heart, God showed me this when I first came here, showed me the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Get your eyes off the past. Get your eyes off the side of what everybody's doing. Look ahead and trust me, because what's coming is greater than anything this place has ever seen before. God wants us to know. And if we can get that in our head and become good stewards of our time, our talent, our treasure, our testimony, this place will prosper. So now watch this. Go ahead, do this last one. I'm going to tell you a little story, true story. This is a true story with my hand held up. Our salvation is never based on service. It is based on the cross alone. But, watch this, our rewards are based on service. Here and in the hereafter. And finally, our stewardship is based on our faith in God. And it will show here and in the hereafter. Let me tell you a story. I don't even know why. I don't understand. It was perfect time. What I'm saying is, Sister Hazel came in a few nights ago or a few weeks ago as I was starting this on stewardship. And she told me a story that I actually have remembered, but it put it so far back in my head that I even forgot some of the details. So this might be 100% detail right, but I'll get the gist of it. When my wife and we were out there, we started the Royal Church of God. What I did was eventually come a time where I just quit my job at Procter & Gamble. When I quit my job at Procter & Gamble, we had the best insurance possible. I never paid over a dollar for any medicine. Never. That's back in the 80s and 90s. But I never paid over a dollar for any medicine. They didn't have the generic one thing and the other. It's just $1. And I remember I never even had to pay a copay at the doctor at the time. And I remember we got here and Daniel got sick. And when Daniel got sick, I wanted to try to go to the drugstore, somebody to try to help him, because I didn't have any insurance. And back then, you know, again, it's different than now, but I had gone and we'd gone to the doctor. And of course, I come back and if Sister Hazel was telling me, at this part I had forgot, somebody had given me $20 and I'd taken 15 of it and put it on the water bill. I had $5 to my name. Five. Daniel's medicine was right at 10. I'd never paid $10 for medicine, ever. $1. And when I paid that $1 because I worked at Procter & Gamble, I had plenty of money in my pocket after I paid that dollar. All I had was, I think, five ones. So I go to Sister Hazel at the counter. And I said, I'm running a little short. If you'll hold this, I'll see if I can't go find some in my car. And so she took the five ones and she covered it over with a stapler. She said, well, go ahead. So I went and I looked for the money and I really couldn't find any. And I was thinking, God, we're in trouble now. So Daniel needs this medicine. It's $10 and I only have five. And I have no idea what to do. But Lord, I've been talking about seed faith and I've been faithful to you. I have been so faithful to you, God. And you know that I had this need. You know Daniel was going to be sick. And I said, you've already taken care of this. I know you have. I said, but God, my pockets are empty. And so I come back in to talk to Sister Hayes a little while later and said, you know, talk about something I could do to work out something or go to the house and find some money. I'd even consider writing a bad check. I didn't know what to do. Not a bad check, excuse me, a holy post-dated check. You write it, expect God to cash it. All right, ready? And Sister Hazel said, hold on a minute. And she said, you got enough of your medicine and change. And I said, no, I gave you $5. She said, I know. She said, ain't $5 here now. She said, you got your 10 and change. And I said, come on now. She said, no. And so I paid for the medicine. She gave me change back in my hand. Sister Hazel said she couldn't wait for that night for the register to be checked out to make sure something hadn't been lost or misplaced. And the register registered perfect. That day, on that counter, God said, my son has been faithful to me. I'm going to show him and everybody around here what happens when you're faithful to me. And so God just reached in his pocket and said, not only am I going to give him enough, I'm going to give him enough to have some left over. Watch what I can do. And so when that happened, I went. Sister Hazel went. And all the ladies in the drugstore went. But I never touched it. My hands never left my arms. And she didn't touch it. Yeah. So what I'm trying to tell you is, look. God is so concerned about you. But he has a system set up. He said, I don't want you to consider the lilies. They don't toil or spin. That's true. There's not Solomon's kingdom weren't even arrayed like this. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll take care of all those needs. Let me ask you a question. Is this what you give God? Okay, God, you can lick the spoon. Or do you really honor him? When you honor him, he will honor you. That's a promise. I can name off people. I can name off people all over the place that honored God, and I saw God honor them more and more and more and more. You see, the cool thing is, I just use a little bitty old spatula. But when God gives back, he uses a whole lot bigger shovel than I use that little spatula to bless me. So now here's my question. Do you want revival? That's good. This is fresh. I didn't give y'all junk. I had somebody come by the church one day. I was out there working in the church, and the guy said, Pastor? I said, yeah, and he had an old truck like Fred Sanford. He said, I was on the way to the dump, and I thought the church might could use some of this stuff I'm getting ready to throw away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. God, I want revival. And I know it starts with my story. This could also be your time. This can be your talent. This can be your testimony. It don't have to be the money. It can be all any one of them. But you know what? They're all going to be affected. God's watching. And God says, I want my house. I want my house and my kingdom. Let's all stand. I'll let y'all come play something. God wants to show us such a revival in our hearts and in our lives and in our church. God wants to show us a revival like you never could imagine. But in order to see that revival, He's got to see us with our time, our talent, our treasure, our testimony. You ain't got to give it all to Him. He doesn't say, give me all of it. He has it set up. And the way He sets it up, everybody gives in proportion the same thing. I had a guy one day told me, said, so to give a tenth, right? I said, yep. He said, well, when I was making $100, it was easy to give a dollar. He said, but now I'm making $1,000. I'm having a hard time giving $100. I said, let's pray about it. He said, okay. I said, Lord, help him on his job get busted down to where he's making $100 again a week. He said, what are you doing? I said, you said you could pay the one, you couldn't pay the 100, so I'm asking God to put you down where you can pay it. He said, no! I said, okay. God says, put me first, and I'll put you first. Draw close to me, and I'll draw close to you. And then He says, try me. Just try it. Just try it. Just try it. Some of you might need to work your way up to it. That's fine. Work your way up to it, but do something. Show God that your intentions are real. I have to work my way up to this, Lord, but I'm going to do it. I'm not going to let this opportunity go by, Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's somebody here first that you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, please don't think that today was all about possessions, because it wasn't. It's about attitude. And the greatest attitude, the greatest thing, the greatest possession is having Jesus as our Savior. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, with nobody looking around, I'm not going to make a spectacle of you, but just put that hand up and say, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. Will you please pray for me? That's all you got to do. Just slip it up and put it back down. Nobody will ever see it. God will take care of it. Maybe you're here right now and you'd like to say, well, you know what? I've been there, but I'm not like I used to be. I'm not where I used to be, and I really could use God to put it on me right now. I need to rededicate myself and rededicate my efforts. And I'm talking to you right now. Nobody's looking. We just put the hand up and say, that's me. I need to rededicate myself. That's right. Bless them, Lord. Help them, God, to do what they're asking right now in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here right now, and maybe the stewardship series has opened your eyes to a whole different avenue of stewardship. And don't think I'm going to preach on this forever, because there may be one more sermon, there may not. And then we're going to something entirely different. But if your eyes have been opened, your hearts have been opened, your spirit has been opened, and you ask God, you want God to help you do different right now with your time, your talent, your treasure, your testimony. Nobody looking around. We just put that hand up and say, I need to do better. Hands are going up all over the place. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I want everybody that will, whatever reason you may have raised your hands. I know it's getting late. I told you it was going to be a long one, but we're through with it now. Now it's up to you. The ball's been put in your court. It's yours. It's yours. You decide what to do with it. Right now, these altars are open. These altars are open. All that will, come and pray. All that will, come and pray. God, I want revival. And I know in order to have revival, I got to be a faithful steward of my time, my talent, my treasure, my testimony. I've been holding back on you, God. I've been holding back. I watched others, and I'm just doing what I'm seeing done. That ain't the way to get it. God's not going to reward you or going to talk to you about what somebody else did. It's you. God, it's time. It's time to step up to the plate. It's time to be used by you, God. It's time to be used. I love you, Father. I praise your name. I praise your name. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. God, I'm yours. God, I'm yours. God, I'm yours. Use me, my time, my talent, my treasure, my testimony. Use me, God. Use me, God. Use me, God. Use me, God. Help me, Lord, to get a grip on stewardship. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me to get a grip on stewardship. Lord, don't let me scrape the bottom of the bucket for you, Lord. You didn't scrape the bottom of the bucket for me at Calvary. You didn't scrape the bottom of the bucket for me when you came out of heaven. God didn't scrape the bottom of the bucket when He sent you from heaven. God, I don't want to scrape the bottom. Lord. Lord. I love you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. When my Jesus I will see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved, sing it, by His grace, and He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Come on. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, and He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Yes. Now remember, here's a, yeah, amen. Come on. Yes, glory. I want to see revival, God. I want to see revival, God. I'm not going to put you on the back burner. I'm going to bring you to the front burner because I want to get on fire. Praise the Lamb of God. Yeah. Yes. It don't matter what somebody else does. It's what you do for God. Amen. It's what you do. When you get before God, you can say, well, everybody else was doing it. You know, there was a general overseer in the Church of God. The biggest man in the whole Church of God. He's speeding, trying to get somewhere, and the state patrolman stops him. And he says, can I help you? He says, sir, what's up? He says, you know you're speeding, don't you? He said, yep. He said, but I was just doing what everybody else was doing. And says, I know what the law is, but I was actually just trying to get where I was going. I was trying to get where I needed to be. And he said, are you going to give me a ticket? He said, yes. He says, you of all people should know, I don't do what everybody else is doing. I'm not going to do it because everybody else is doing it. Number two, I don't need to worry about getting there as much as I need to worry about setting an example. God, let me be an example of my stewardship. My time, my talent, my treasure, my testimony. Amen? God's awesome. All the time. Amen. Now, y'all don't even feel like it's even 3 o'clock, does it? Brother Frank, you just missed us in prayer, please.